Well, I want to say good evening. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Man, are you glad you're saved tonight? I hope and pray that you are. And if you're not glad about it, then could be maybe you need to get saved. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, I appreciate the good Spirit of God. And look through the congregation tonight. And I want to say hallelujah. It's good to be here. And I do appreciate you coming out on a rainy night to have meeting. And I appreciate your pastor. Thank God for the opportunity to come and be here with the good folks, Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle. My, what a beautiful place. Amen. And a wonderful spot to have a great church of the house of God. Tonight, I'd invite you please to take your Bible and turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter number 12. And I can only bring that which the Lord has laid upon our heart for this hour. And that's what I'm going to try to do, just try to mind the Lord. And I think that's what your pastor told me to do, just mind the Lord. And that's what we're going to try to do today. I'm just going to look at two verses tonight. And I want you to hold your place there in Romans chapter 12, because it's very important that you look at the Scripture with me tonight. And I agree with your pastor. Amen. Is this for me? Can I drink that? Praise the Lord. I've had one of those days. Amen. And this water is going to taste awfully good. I went to the hospital, Brother Marvin, and you'll understand this. And at Forsyth, and had prayer over one of our folks been in the hospital for over 2 weeks on a ventilator. And now they put in a trach, and he's just laying there unconscious. And had prayer with him, able to come back up the road. And I got all the way to the Mountain View Road and got a phone call, a text. Had to turn right back around and drive right back to Winston. And because of my wife, and she had to have eye surgery. This is the second eye surgery she's had this week. So I'd ask you to remember her, if you would. She's not here tonight. I was almost late for the service because I took her to my daughter and the grandchildren, and they're sick as well. So we know there's a lot of stuff going on. Amen. But it's good to be here tonight, and we're here tonight. And there's something from God's Word that you and I can glean together this evening. You pray for me, and I know you have. And I thank God for that. Oh, coming down here today from the mountain where I was, and I let my wife took her into the house. And the whole way down here, my voice was just, you know what I'm talking about. I had that, and I couldn't get rid of it. And I said, Lord, I don't know what to do tonight. I like to sing in the choir. And God said, well, you need to just go on up there. Make a joyful noise. I don't know, something happened up there. About the third song, it just broke loose. And I'm thankful for that. Amen. So I think God's going to help us tonight, and that's all right. But I appreciate Him, appreciate this meeting, and I am concerned about the condition of our nation. I really am. And I'm going to tell you tonight, if I didn't think there was hope, I'd close my Bible, and I'd go back up the road. I'd pack my things at the parsonage at 3658 Mountain View Road, and I would head back up onto the brushes on the back side of the mountain where nobody knows anything about anybody. Nobody has, it's like a hideout up there. Nobody knows where it's at. Amen. But I know there's hope tonight. And the hope of America is not in Washington, D.C. The hope of North Carolina is not located down at Raleigh, although there are some churches down at Raleigh. But the hope of North Carolina, the hope of America, is the people of God. We are salt and light in this present time and in this world. But I'm going to be honest with you. I think that the church has grown dim with the light of the gospel. I think that our saltiness sometimes has lost its savor. And I'm going to preach tonight out of Romans chapter 12, if the Lord will help me. And I want to read verse number 1 and 2. But before I read it, I want to just tell you a little tale. Is that all right? Said there was a pig and a chicken. They were walking down the road together. Now, if you can get a pig and a chicken to agree to walk down the same road together, that's an unusual. Brother Mickey, maybe you can't. I've never done that. I've never seen it. But here they are. They're walking down the road together. And as they passed by church, they noticed a potluck charity breakfast was underway. And caught up in the spirit, the pig suggested to the chicken that they each make a contribution. Great idea, said the chicken. Let's offer them ham and eggs. Not so fast, said the pig. For you, that's just a contribution. But for me, it's a total commitment. And you know what? That's a silly story about a chicken and a pig. But there's a lot of truth in that as well. Oftentimes it is, I think, we're living in an age when people just want to give a little contribution to the church rather than being totally committed. Amen? And when I get done preaching tonight, you'll think, we need to totally commit this guy. Amen. You'll get that. You'll be driving down the road after a while. That'll hit you like a ton of bricks and you'll have to pull over and laugh. Amen. But nevertheless, let's stand together. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. May we go to the Lord in prayer once again. And it's good to be here tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Mickey if he'll pray for us again tonight. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight for just a few minutes. I'm going to try to preach fast. You listen quick. And we'll be done in just no time at all. I want to take these two verses, and if I can, just lift four little thoughts out of these two verses of Scripture. Would that be all right with you tonight? And I want to just look at the text and examine the text as we see it tonight before us. Certainly we believe that the Apostle Paul to be the human penman under the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. I love the book of Romans. It is a book that is filled with great doctrinal truth all the way through. And boy, if I had my way, I'd sit down over here on one of these pews and I would call Brother Marvin Blackburn to the pulpit. And I would say, Brother Marvin, would you mind to give us a brief summary of all the chapters of the book of Romans? I believe if I were to call him up here right now, he would do it in an instant. And he would be wonderful at doing it, being put on the spot such as that. I believe that Brother Marvin would agree with me what I've said about the book of Romans being a book filled with great truths of doctrine. And it is a book that we need in the hour in which we live. We come to chapter number 12 and verses 1 and 2. And I think it's a stopping point for us tonight to look just at a few thoughts. May I give you maybe four things upon the subject of the surrendered life. The surrendered life. Now, this lesson tonight, it may be more of a lesson, preacher. I don't know what God's going to do. I've never preached this before. And as I was studying it, I looked at it. I felt like that the Lord would have us to see this. But I'm going to be honest with you tonight. Every time, you don't have chandeliers in here, so we can't swing from them. Amen. Well, we can probably get up there and get on the rafters or something. Amen. But every church service, you don't swing from the chandeliers. But when we get into the Word of God and we can take something from the Word of God and we can go out the door and we can apply it to our lives to help us to be better and stronger Christians, I think it'll help us tonight. May I give you four simple thoughts tonight out of the text. I want you to hold your place there in Romans chapter 12. And let me just give you the first point tonight. The reason for the surrendered life. If you'll notice in verse number 1 of chapter 12, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. I want to stop right there and give you the reason, I believe, for the surrendered life. I believe that each one of us should be surrendered to the cause of Christ. As you notice this, there is, first of all, the call for the surrendered life. If you'll look in the Scripture again, Paul said, I beseech you, therefore. The word beseech is an interesting word. It means to call for. It means to call for an exhortation. And as you look at that verse, I beseech you, therefore, we come to the word therefore, and when we find that in our Bible, we should think about what it's there for. Amen. Paul is calling our attention to think about the previous 11 chapters that he has pinned down, that he has placed in the Word of God, and all the doctrine that is surrounded the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans. Paul calls us, he says, I beseech ye therefore, I beg you, I implore you to think about the first 11 chapters in the book of Romans. And tonight, we're not going to look at the first 11 chapters. I want you to study the Bible yourself. And it would do us all good sometime before Sunday if we were to read the first 11 chapters of this wonderful, wonderful book. Not only the call for the surrendered life, I see the reason for the surrendered life, not only the call, but the cause of a surrendered life. Notice what Paul said in verse number 1. I beseech ye therefore, brethren. He calls them brethren. Did you know tonight that is talking about those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior? Can I tell you, glory to God, I am not preaching to a community of people that does not know the Lord. In the church house, there are people both saved and lost. I hope the majority of people here tonight know Jesus as their Savior. And if you've been born again, if you've been bought by the blood, if you've been to Calvary, are you hearing me tonight? Glory to God. I'm thankful for salvation. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And thank Him for His good, marvelous grace. And as I think about this, He said the word brethren. I love the word brethren. But notice the phrase that Paul uses here, the cause for a surrendered life. He says, brethren, by the mercies of God. Can I tell you tonight, God is a merciful God. He is a long-suffering God. And if it was not for the mercy of God, I'd be burning in a devil's hell tonight. But because of Calvary and the mercy that was extended to the whole of humanity through Calvary and through the death of my blessed Savior and through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's alive today, and He is a merciful God, and He loves us this evening. I began to think about the mercies of God, Calvary, and God's mercies. It's plural, my friend. It's not singular. God doesn't give you mercy one time, but He continues to give us mercy after mercy in the plural tonight. Somebody should shout on that. Oh, I tell you, glory to God, mercy is you and I not getting what we deserve. Grace, amen, is given to us, the unmerited favor that gives us what we don't deserve as well, amen. But mercy is us not receiving what we do deserve, and that is condemnation. And when God in His mercy gives salvation to His children, we should think about Calvary. We should think about the cross and what the Savior did when He died for our sins on the cross. There is a reason for the surrendered life. Secondly, tonight, there is the reality of the surrendered life. If you'll notice in verse number 1 again, the Bible says that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So we see the reason for the surrendered life. Now let's look at the reality of the surrendered life. Can I say it this way? And it's not pleasing to a lot of people today, but the cost is total. If you're going to surrender your life, you're going to have to surrender it all. You see, as it is in salvation, you're either saved or you're not saved. Can I say it here? You're either saved or you're lost. You see, a lot of people don't want to hear that stuff. They have tuned it out. We don't want to hear the lost business. But can I tell you, if you're lost right now, the wrath of God abides upon you. And if you were to die in your sins, you're going to go to a place called hell. And that's what God's Word says. It's time that preachers stood up and preached, thus saith the Lord, and gave the truth of the gospel. I don't mean to be mean. I'm my mama's middle son, her only preacher boy out of three so far. Amen. I don't know if the other two will ever get right with the Lord enough to where God called them to preach. And He may not ever. Amen. But nevertheless, my mama's middle boy and she loved me, but glory to God, I never realized, amen, the cost of a surrendered life. Mama never told me about it, amen, to the degree the Bible does. And I'm glad this evening, glory to God, to know that the cost is total. A presence, listen, we need to present all of ourselves. God wants all of you. I think, can I come down here? Thank you. Some of you get nervous. Can I come down here and just tell you? God's not so interested in your billfold.
That's right.
God, ladies, is not interested in your purse. He's not. He's not interested in your bank account. How much money you got in your IRA. God ain't interested so much in that. He already knows it. And let me just spoil it for you. It's His already. You see, the only thing that God is really interested in tonight is you. But He doesn't want just part of you. Amen. He wants all of you.
Right.
Yeah, man. You're either in Christ or you're not in Christ.
Right.
There is no middle road. There is no fence setting. How many of you ever crossed a barbed wire fence?
Mm. Yes, sir.
Well, I'm a little short-legged fella and they build them barbed wire fences high. And I tell you what, I've climbed over many of them. And there's been a few times that I got in the middle of it and it was not pretty.
Yeah.
Ouch. You ever got caught on a barbed wire fence? Amen. You just don't drive down the road. Brother Mickey, I never drove by your house and saw you sitting on a barbed wire fence. Have you ever seen anybody just sitting there, drive by 1 hour and come back another and they just still sitting on a barbed wire fence? No! Because a barbed wire fence is no place to be. You need to be on one side of it or the other. And that's the way it is with salvation. And that's the way it is with surrendering your life to God. Either you are committed and you are surrendered or you're not. There's no middle ground. God wants us to be surrendered. Preacher, I'm going to get back up here when I can get done. I get down there and it just goes long. Amen. Don't try to cross no barbed wire fence and get sitting on one. You ain't going to be comfortable. And you're not going to be comfortable trying to sit on the fence of surrender. You're going to be surrendered or you're not. And the cost is total. Let me just say this. The cost is personal. You see, to be a living sacrifice today, it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. We're living in a world that is perverse. Amen. We're living in a world that doesn't like the word Jesus. They tolerate the word God, but they don't want to hear the word Jesus. I wasn't going to tell this, but I got to. I went in the post office yesterday and I'm filling out a visa form to Ghana, West Africa, and I'm going over there next month to attend a funeral of one of our best missionaries in the whole country of Ghana who died suddenly, and I loved him and love his family, and me and another pastor are going. You have to have a visa. Not only do you have to have a passport, but you have to have a visa to enter into that country. I have a 2.5-year-old grandson and a 4-year-old granddaughter. My grandson, he will not. He just is singing just sometimes. He's stubborn. Leon, are you here? Leon, what is your last name? What? A Feltz. My grandson's name is Feltz too. And that's his other grandpa right back there. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I like to say he's a Feltz. But the problem with my grandson may not be so much he's a Feltz, but that he's got shoemate blood in him too. He's just a little stubborn. And so here he is, and he's with me, and we go into the post office, and I stand there at the counter, and I do this, and I buy a money order, and I come back around, and I'm filling out all these envelopes, and in the process of time, I caused a big line of people to be standing there waiting to be served. And all of a sudden, in the middle of that whole atmosphere, as I was filling that out, that my little grandson, with a not a low voice, but with a loud voice began to just sing out, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yeah. Oh, He just cut it all right there. I mean, just laid it out there. Them people looking around. It was in a government building. I was expecting the FBI, the CIA, but nobody said anything. They just looked at that. I wonder, hey man, and then it wasn't over. Oh no, he took off and started singing the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. 2.5 years old in a post office. Whoa! And I began to think, Lord, I sure wouldn't have done that. I'd been scared to. But you know what? He didn't care what anybody thought. He was just singing. He didn't do it to make a publicity stunt. He didn't do it to make himself look good. He just did it because there was a song in his heart and he wanted to sing. And glory to God, I tell you, I come out of that place and boy, I'm telling you, I couldn't help but thank God as I was walking to the car. Lord, I thank you. Put your hand on this boy and let him grow up and just keep singing for you. Glory to God. I'm telling you, we need some people that are unashamed of the Lord and unafraid to stand up. We need that in the hour in which we live. I mean, it just blessed my heart. The cost is total. The cost is personal. You see, the Bible says, present your body as a living sacrifice. Most of us think we're going to present ourselves to God when we get home, and we are. God wants you now. He wants you now. And if you give yourself to Him now, you'll be blessed. There's some young people here tonight. You know what? It'd be good for you. It'd be good for you tonight to get a hold of what I'm preaching this evening and understand that it's reasonable for you to live a holy, set-apart life, and it's good for you to do that and just surrender your life right now and say, Lord, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender and just give yourself over to Him. You'd be amazed. There's some old people like me. It'd do us good to surrender our lives and say, Lord, whatever time I have left, I want to surrender. I want to do what You want me to do. I want to sing when You want me to sing. I want to preach when You want me to preach. I want to go where You want me to go. Whatever You want me to do, Lord, here I am. Amen. Send me, use me. God, I surrender all. I don't care what anybody says. I don't care what people think. Hey, I'm over that what people think anymore. It doesn't make a bit of difference to me what people think. Amen. I want to tell you, glory to God, if David danced alone, sometimes you and I may have to dance alone as well and praise the Lord our God and give Him the glory. I've just decided if there ain't nobody else going to praise Him, I'm going to praise Him because He's worthy. If nobody else is shouting and God says to shout, I'm going to shout because He's worthy of all praise. Let me just get back up here and we'll finish up. First of all, we see the reason for surrendered life. The reality of the surrendered life is going to cost you something. It's going to be personal. You're going to be ridiculed. You're going to be mocked. You're going to be scolded. There's a reason. There's a reality. Number three, notice the requirements of a surrendered life. Look in verse number two. Now this, it really gets tough right here. I want us to do like we do, have to do at Bethel a lot of times. Breathe in. Let about half of it out and just hold it. The requirements for a surrendered life is this. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Breathe. Whew. That was tough, wasn't it? Can I say two things and we'll move on right here? We should stop being conformed to this world. Woo. Can I tell you, it's a shame unto the Lord how churches have conformed to the world and to the standards of the world. Thank God for an old-time preacher that'll stand and preach the Word of God from the King James Bible. Thank God for a church that still believes in old-time praise, singing and shouting, and the hymns that have lived forever, amen, it seems like, in the old books, amen. I tell you, glory to God, they can bring out the smoke, and you can bring out the electric, all the stuff and all of that. I'm not getting on no pet peeve. I'm just telling you, y'all come up here with me, would you? Yeah, come on, come on. I just want to show you something. Grab my arm. Come on up here and grab his arm. How would it look if behind us they was going, and we was going, can y'all do that? Do that. How'd that look? How's that look? You got to get into the worship now, buddy. I'm just telling you. We need a worship leader, preacher. Come on over here and be the worship leader. We can't do it. Oh, yeah. Can you do that? Yeah. 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 How'd that feel?
That felt good.
Thank you. Brother Josh, watch that guy right there. Amen. I want to tell you, glory to God, it don't get any better than the old songs. Amen. The ones that name Jesus as our Savior and our Lord. Amen. And these songs are just about Him. Him. And they don't ever mention the name of the Lord. There's something wrong with that. For all I know, they could be singing about Hank Williams Jr. Amen. You don't never know who Him is. But when they name Him as Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, can I tell you, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, where sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Can I tell you, if it names the name of Jesus, Emmanuel, the Savior, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that's a song I like.
Amen.
When we're singing about Him and we're bebopping around, and then when it's time for the preaching, you can't be found. I'm just telling it. Oh, we need old time preaching. Boy, we need preaching, but we need some good singing too. We should stop being conformed to be fashion like. You see, the problem is we want to bring the world in. They are bringing the world into the church rather than taking the church out and reaching the world. And I want to tell you, it'll never work that way. You're not going to bring the world into the church of God and it be right with God. Amen? It's not going to be. We should stop being conformed, but secondly, we should start being transformed. Hey, what is that thing that thing that turns into a butterfly? Caterpillar. You ever seen one of them things called a caterpillar? They just crawl along, don't they?
Right, yes, sir.
They crawl along. And then all of a sudden, you'll see a cocoon. And that thing, after it's made that cocoon, it'll slide up in that cocoon. And after a while, that thing will come out of that cocoon. And it'll be one of the most beautiful creatures it's ever been. And it'll spread its wings. And it begins to fly. You know what? That's about like humanity is. When we get saved, amen, Lord have mercy. We're going, hey man, the old grave ain't going to hold us. Right. Hey man, one of these glorious days, we're coming up out of that grave. There's going to be a metamorphosis that's going to take place. And we're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And those that have died preceding us, they're going to come up from the grave first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. The Bible says forever we shall be with the Lord. There's a metamorphosis that takes place. You see, better, rather than being conformed to the world, we need to be transformed. When we get saved, we should be transformed. That means to be changed. You see, I'm not the same old person that I used to be. Well, let me just come down here again. Can I tell you, I grew up for 10 years in the house of a drunkard. My daddy was an alcoholic, and he was worse than an alcoholic. He would get drunk on Friday, and we wouldn't see him again till Monday or Tuesday of the next week. And I'm telling you, it went on and it went on. And for the first 10 years of my life, I didn't have a daddy that was worth 2 cents. I mean, I know he loved me, but he wasted his substance on drinking. And for 10 years. But you know what? My daddy had work ethics. He'd go to work on Monday, even if he was hungover, he'd still go to work. And one day, hey, y'all don't mind me telling this, do you? One day there was a preacher that went to work at Gardner Mirror right up the road. And that preacher went to work there. And he started living Christ before all the people in the plant. And it didn't take my daddy very long to see a man who was changed. For you see, my father knew that fella back years before. And my daddy watched him and looked how he watched his life. And he watched him with looked at him and just examined him and just itching for him to make a mistake. But then one day came and our pastor resigned. And the church caught another man to come and to preach. And my daddy made the statement, if Felman Cheek comes to Pleasant Grove Baptist Church. Y'all ever heard of that fella? If Felman Cheek ever comes to Pleasant Grove Baptist Church, I'm going to go hear him preach. This was my daddy, the drunkard, who said that. I couldn't believe my ears because I had a drug problem as a child. My mother drugged me to Pleasant Grove Baptist Church for Sunday school, preaching Sunday night, every revival, every special meeting. She grabbed me by the ears and dragged me and my brothers to the house of God. My daddy would never go. But when they called Felman Cheek to be the pastor, I remember the day that my father slipped in and sat on the very back row. I don't know if it was the first time that he came or the second or the third, but it was one of the three. And Brother Felman got up and he preached a message. I don't remember exactly what it was on, but it was on hell and the horror of hell. And he preached like a preacher, amen. Brother, I want to tell you, Felman Cheek, when he was young, he was much of a preacher. And by the way, he's 80-some year old and he's still much of a preacher. And boy, I remember that day at the invitation that my drunkard daddy got up off that back row and walked down the aisle. There was a pile of men that gathered around and they couldn't believe what was happening. They saw a drunkard, oh, somebody who they had give up on, thought there was no hope for. And he got born again that day. We went home. You might not believe it, but I witnessed it. I saw my daddy go around the house, go around the outside buildings, up under the basement and get all the liquor together and pour it out, amen, every single drop. And as far as I know, he never drank another drop in his life. He didn't have to have 12 steps of AA, but God Almighty took it from him when he saved him. He changed him from the inside to the outside. I got a new daddy, glory to God. That's what happens, amen, when you get saved.
Right.
Too many people, they make a little profession, but they really don't get the possession.
Right,
let me just tell you something. There ain't no change in your life. Amen. I'm going to tell you, there ain't no change. If you can still do the old stuff and there ain't no conviction, amen, and there's no chastening, there's something wrong, amen. I'm telling you, glory to God. But it wasn't long after that, this little 10-year-old boy sitting back there on the back got under Holy Ghost conviction. I didn't know what conviction was. Hadn't never heard the term. Hadn't never thought about it. I went home that night, crawled up in my bunk bed, up on top, and my little brother underneath, and I cried myself to sleep, and he reached up and looked up, punched that mattress and said, "Are you crying?" I said, "Shut up or I'll come down there and black your face." Amen. I meant it too. Buddy, I was going to hell and I knew it. But you know what? The next Sunday I sat back there and that preacher got up and opened that black book and he preached "Hell Hot, Heaven Sweet" and "Salvation Available to Whosoever Will." I remember letting go of that pew and I ran down to the altar and I got born again gloriously into the family of God. I
Hallelujah to God. I'm glad there's a change that comes over one when you get saved. Amen. There's a change. Oh, yes. Just as sure as a moth is changed. Amen. A caterpillar is changed into a butterfly. There's a transformation. Number four, and I'm through. We see a reason for the surrendered life. Result of the surrendered life. Or a requirement, rather, for the surrendered life. Let me give you the last one. The result of a surrendered life. Notice in verse number 2. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me say this. The proof of a surrendered life. Notice the Bible says that ye may prove. Say that with me. That ye may prove. Paul's bringing that right down to where we live. He says, put it to the test. That ye may prove. That word prove means to test. Brother Josh, it means to discern, but it also means to allow. Can I ask you tonight, would you allow God? Would you put Him to the test? Would you allow God to prove to you what a surrendered life can do? That ye may prove. And here it is, the last little thing. Not only the result of a surrendered life is the proof of a surrendered life, but there's a peace of a surrendered life. You see, total surrender brings peace. Now, listen to me. I love Civil War history. The peace I'm talking about tonight is not like when Lee surrendered to Grant. There was a truce made. And there was supposed to be peace. The war really didn't end at that moment. But boy, when you surrender to Jesus, amen, and you come to Him and say, Lord, here am I. God, I surrender it all. And not just part. I'm not sitting in the middle of this fence any longer. I'm either in or I'm not. And Lord, I've decided I'm going to surrender all. And Lord, I realize that all You want is all of me. And when you realize that you can trust Him with all of you, you'd be amazed to see what God will do with you. You ever had peace with God? Boy, isn't it good to have peace with Him. Total surrender brings peace. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 2. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable. What's the phrase? And perfect will of God. I wonder how many of us tonight can say that we are in the perfect will of God. You know why? If we can't, you know why we can't? It's because we have not surrendered. We have not given it over. But can I tell you, there's the sweetest peace when you get to the place you bring yourself to the Lord and you say, Lord, here am I. I surrender all. Can I ask you tonight, what's God asking you to do? Huh? I mean, when we wake, hey, hallelujah. Boy, that was a quick move, wasn't it? When we get to the place where we can wave that white flag of surrender and just say, Lord, I want that good and perfect and acceptable will of God in my life. Lord, how many of you want the will of God for your life? Amen. Oh, don't say it unless you mean it. Boy, I'm telling you, you've got to surrender all. And you surrender all. And you give it over to Jesus. And you say, Lord, here am I. I know that You don't want just part of me, but You want all of me. And here it is, Lord. This flesh does not want to surrender. But Lord, I surrender all. Lord, everything that I have, my family, my home, my church, my money, my possessions, Lord, I bring it to You tonight and I surrender all. Lord, I bring my friends to You. I bring my family to You. I surrender all. I surrender all. And if we get to the place, we raise up that white flag and say, Lord, here am I. Here am I. It'd be amazing what God would do with you. Walk with me, Pastor. Bible school. Pastor, I tell you, I surrendered all. Mm-hmm. Pastor, boy, I tell you, preacher, I just got to do something for God. Mm-hmm. Bible school, God's laid it on my heart. Mm-hmm. I got to do something. Oh, preacher, there's a vacancy in the Sunday school. I surrendered all to the Lord Jesus. Preacher, what can I do? How can I help you? Preacher, in the parking lot. Oh, I surrendered all. And Lord, I'm willing to do whatever you have for me. If it's picking up trash, if it's walking up and down the highway, making sure people get in the building right and just helping in any way I can. Maybe it is that you need a greeter. Preacher, maybe it is that you need somebody to go visit somebody in the hospital. I told the Lord, I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all. Preacher, I'll go. I'll go. I want to be in the will of God.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Right.
Amen.
Good. What would he do? He'd go bananas. He would. He'd get so happy. You know what he'd do? He'd get him a white flag and run to. I surrender all. I surrender all. I surrender all.
Amen.
Oh my. It'd be amazing to see what God would do if I don't take that bed pillowcase back to my daughter. Amen. I surrender all. You see, there are many Christians tonight who have never found the good and the perfect and the acceptable will of God because they have never surrendered all. In surrendering and becoming a living sacrifice, you'll find at least three or four things. First of all, you'll find the peace of God. You'll find the purpose of God. You'll find the presence of God. And Brother Craig, if it's the mission field, you'll find the provision of God. God never fails. Honey, I'm going to tell you something. God doesn't write IOUs. God doesn't have grandchildren. He only has young'uns. Y'all listening to me tonight? God loves you. Have you found that perfect and complete, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? We should surrender tonight, considering the mercies of God to us. To that person who's here tonight who absolutely just refuses to surrender all, you say, well, what's in this for me, preacher? If you're not saved, I want you to listen. The book of Romans says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 5, verse number 8, the Bible says, but God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 6:23, the Bible says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And every child of God should shout on Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. No condemnation. Romans chapter 10, verse number 9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever, I say, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can I ask you a question? Are you saved tonight, scripturally? Have you repented of your sins? Have you been born again? And if you are saved, are you surrendered totally to the good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Young or old, makes no difference. You're not too young and you're not too old. to surrender? Are you living your life as a contribution to God or as a total commitment? Are you that living sacrifice that God can use? Are you 100% in His will? If not tonight, be a good time to come and become the holy, living sacrifice acceptable unto God. It's reasonable. Father, Lord, tonight, God, these two verses that You pricked my heart over today, God, I realize this is an unusual sermon for such a time as this, but Lord, I believe with all my heart that God, there's someone here tonight, Lord, that is teetering, maybe even on that dangerous fence. God, help them to understand they cannot stay in that middle ground. Lord, they are either surrendered or, Lord, they're not. Lord, they're either saved or they're lost. Lord, tonight I call upon You, God, to help me, Lord, to surrender my life. God, I'm not talking to anybody else or about anybody else but me. Oh, my Lord. Lord, I want You to have all of me. Lord, I don't want just give You portions. I don't want just to make a contribution. Lord, I want, God, to give myself wholly in total commitment. God, in doing that, You receive everything that I am, everything that I have, and everything that I will ever be. Because, Lord, You alone are worthy. Lord, as the musicians make their way to the instruments tonight, God, as they begin to play something softly, Lord, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, maybe it is the pastor is making his way forward. God, I pray this evening, Lord, that You prick our heart. God, this message tonight, Lord, it should be preached to every person that's saved and even those that are lost. Lord, help us to understand, Lord, that You want more than just church attendance on Sunday. God, You want full-time service. God, there could be a preacher here tonight. Lord, it's holding back in some area of his life. God, he needs to come tonight and just surrender all. Lay it at the foot of the cross and find that good, acceptable, perfect will of God. Lord, tonight I pray that God, who comes, whoever comes, Lord, that they would get help that they need. Oh God, I'm going to come. I'm going to bow in this altar tonight. I'm going to ask You to help me. God, I pray for our young people. God, some of our own Bethel children are here tonight. Some of our teenagers, older ones. God, I pray tonight that, God, tonight be a life-changing event for them. Be the night that they sell out to the world and the flesh and the devil. God, they bow before You and they say, Lord, I surrender all. I give it to You, Lord. All of me. Lord, I want You to help me. Take me. Use me. If you'll come tonight and ask God to help you, He will. Would you come just as you are? Would you come right now? Slip out from where you are. Come to this altar and say, God, I surrender all. All to Jesus, I surrender.